From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning, focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour as we move, we're moving closer to Ash Wednesday, right around the corner now. So appreciate you all being with us. And we're pleased to be joined by phone by Dr. Marion Evans Mount, president of Catholic Distance University since 2008, joins us now from the great city of Charleston, West Virginia. Dr. Mount, good day to you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here.
Yeah, good to have you with us. I'm sure you're glad to be in Charleston. It's a beautiful city.
Oh, you know what? There are Charlestons and Charlestowns.
I know. Yes, this is Charlestown, isn't it?
Yes, this is Charlestown.
Not Charleston, actually, South Carolina.
That's correct, and I was just there over the weekend, so I can attest to the beauty of Charleston. But no, this is Charlestown.
Yes.
West Virginia, which is a very historic town that was actually established by George Washington's brother, Charles.
Right.
And the story is that George Washington actually surveyed the town for his brother.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yes. And this is the Eastern Panhandle of West Virginia, which is a very thriving, growing Catholic community. So it's a privilege for the university to be here. And we've been here 5 years. Before that, of course, we were in Virginia for 30 years, so...
So Catholic Distance University has been around for a long time.
Yes, it has. We were established in 1983 as originally a pontifical institute, which in terms of the nomenclature became a catechetical institute. And then in 1996, we offered our first degree program and became a university.
Very good. I think of Catholic Distance, and I'm thinking, is that the distance from here to heaven?
Well, we're trying to shrink that distance, and actually, I don't think any of us really like that term, but when we were established, the term distance is actually the way that our type of education is described, and of course, and I think it's the name came from people who are brick and mortar, and they emphasize the fact that there's geographical distance between the students and the faculty.
I think of when I see Catholic Distance University, I think, well, it's all online, you know, and then I go, you're telling
That's
me the
correct.
History here, and I'm going, as my kids term it, the dark ages before they had the internet. How did that work?
We did correspondence education.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we started in 1983, and it really taught us how to support students at a distance. And then in 2000, we did a pilot program with the Diocese of Arlington and did our first online seminar.
Okay.
So we did a 3-week online interactive seminar with 100 catechists, and it was an incredible success. So we knew, wow, this is it. And we realized that God had been preparing us for the internet. So when we started, we had no clue what was ahead of us. But it's just the internet is a great gift from God for catechetical formation, for theological education. So we're very grateful to be doing this.
Yeah, I mean, as with all human inventions, if you will, you know, it's both good and bad, you know.
It's
amazing to me, you know, you think about photography, you know, you couldn't take George Washington's picture, but you could take Abraham Lincoln's picture, you know, and you think all the wonderful things, and then all obviously the bad things that we've done with photography or movies. Send me with airplanes. You know, what a wonderful invention. And then how long did it take us to figure out we could drop bombs from airplanes?
You know? That is true.
It's true
because we are sinners. You know, we're dealing with human nature.
Yeah.
Yeah. And original sin.
Yeah, but so. You're right. It's amazing. I know the Catholicism series that Bishop Barron did. Oh, I mean, yes. I watched online, you know, it's like, if I had to, I don't know, subscribe or get on the phone and try to find it, and can you send me the materials? It would have been a lot harder.
It would have. You are absolutely right. Yeah, so it's a great gift, and we just need to know how to use it to serve God.
Tell us about how it works now, who your faculty is besides yourself and et cetera.
One of the advantages of being an online university is we can engage experts. So we're not tied to a tenured faculty system where you generally with theology, you'll have a small theological faculty. Mm-hmm. So obviously, you know, they have their expertise, but they don't have the broad expertise that we can offer because we can hire faculty from all over the world. So we have two full-time faculty who work here full-time, who teach, of course, our academic dean and our faculty chair. And the faculty chair just came from Rome. She was in Rome for 12 years. She has a STD. But we also have faculty as far away as Australia. Oh, so our dean and faculty chair are able to reach out to experts, to people who are very well known in particular areas of theology. So that's a great thing. And the students generally find us through Google searches. We do have partnerships with dioceses. So sometimes they find it through there, sometimes word of mouth. But, of course, our website is absolutely key. You know, it's the most important marketing tool that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And most of our marketing is digital. You know, we have a global audience. And, so that's how it works. Students, prospective students find us. They go through our website. They can certainly contact us for further information. And then they go through an enrollment process. You know, they can fill out a form on the website, get more information, and then work their way through the application. And we do offer 4-degree programs, a number of certificate programs. So we are really a full-service university. Because we started out as a pontifical institute, we have a lot of non-credit courses, continuing education, and dioceses are primarily interested in that.
Right.
Although some dioceses are using CDU to build leadership by educating DREs, by educating Catholic school teachers. That can all be done online through CDU.
Wow. And you have 4-degree programs. Do you have a football team?
Yeah. You know what? We don't have football. We don't have cheerleaders yet. So. Actually,
you're not quite full service yet.
We're not. No. So we're more of the European model, I guess, because you know they don't do that either. That's a very American tradition.
I guess the goal is to be featured on both EWTN and ESPN.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
Well, we've been on EWTN for many years.
Yeah.
We have. So,
well, that's So tell us about the degree programs.
We have two graduate degree programs, and actually the MA in theology, which is an academic degree, was our first degree that was offered starting, I guess, 1997. And then the second master's degree is in theology and educational ministry. It was funded by our Sunday Visitor Institute. They were very concerned that so many Catholic school teachers, particularly high school teachers, were either not Catholic or Catholic but not well-formed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very important for teachers to be able to hand on the knowledge, the love of the faith, and if they don't have it themselves, they're not going to be handing it on to their students. So this is a newer MA program, and we're excited about it because it includes a practical practicum, where each graduate student actually has to do an on-site teaching experience wherever they live. And then we have a bachelor's degree completion program, so you can transfer in up to 80 credits that you've earned at other institutions that are accredited, and then we will offer you a major in theology and award the degree.
Wow.
You know, a lot of people over the years will collect credits, but they never actually finish the degree program. So that's an advantage of our degree program. Particularly, you know, women, sometimes they will be teaching CCD and, you know, they've raised a family, but they just never finished college. So that's an opportunity. Even sometimes deacons don't have college degrees. So that's the bachelor's program. And then we do an associate's degree in liberal arts with a concentration in Catholic studies.
Mm-hmm.
So people who've, you know, maybe never had the opportunity to go to college would like to have a really good, solid foundation. So, you know, technically you can start with your AA and finish up with a master's degree.
Wow.
And we are looking forward to marketing the AA to Catholic families because students could do the first 2 years at home, save a lot of money, get a good foundation, and then we have agreements with different universities. So those credits will be accepted and transferred, and they could major in business, healthcare, education, criminology, whatever the brick-and-mortar universities offer. So
that's
they're going to save half the cost.
Are the ones you have agreements with, are they all Catholic universities, or are they all?
They are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we have an agreement with the University of St. Thomas in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
We have an agreement with Mount St. Mary's University in Emmitsburg, Maryland.
Right.
We have an agreement with Belmont Abbey College in North Carolina. And we have an agreement with two institutions that are secular. One is American Public University. It's and they're a totally online
mm-hmm.
school, so they offer, 100 different degree programs. So if you only want to study online, then there are a lot of options with American Public University. They're also in Charlestown, West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have an agreement with a state university in West Virginia, Shepherd University.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yes. So the state of West Virginia offers something called a Regents Bachelor's Degree. So students could get their first 2 years online at CDU, and then they can transfer those credits to Shepherd, and then they can get a Regents Bachelor's Degree at Shepherd, and Shepherd will also award credit for work experience. So if someone comes from a military background or, you know, some other work that could qualify, some sort of management,
mm-hmm.
you know, they could get credits. It would be kind of a fast track for getting a bachelor's degree. I guess the benefit of that program is if you're in the kind of West Virginia, you know, area, because Shepherd is basically a brick and mortar school.
Mm-hmm.
But they have some very interesting degrees, majors like, you know, graphic arts, got a wonderful nursing program. I mean, they've got some excellent programs. So, you know, if you're from West Virginia, that would make sense.
And your doctorate is in human development from Virginia Tech.
That is correct. Yes. So my expertise is in adult learning and distance education. My mentor in distance ed was the chair of the department of. It's called the American Center for Distance Education at Penn State, and he was my mentor. So I was able to take graduate courses from him at Penn State and transfer those into my degree from Virginia Tech, and then I also studied adult learning, which is exactly what kind of work I do. So most of our students are from the, you know, between the ages of 25 and 65.
Mm-hmm.
So We're very focused on the adult learner.
So, but when you were studying for your PhD, were you in residence in Blacksburg, or were you?
No, I wasn't actually. The degree program. There are several degree programs that Virginia Tech offers in the D.C. area. For example, landscape architecture is one of them. Mm-hmm. They offer an MBA, and they offered this doctorate in human development at their campus. In the D.C. area. It's a satellite campus.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I see a lot of ads now for Arizona State University. Get your degree entirely, a traditional bachelor's degree. Is that becoming a bigger trend just in American education in general, not just religious education?
Oh, absolutely. It's huge. In fact, if you look at higher education, the only growth area is really online education. And that grows anywhere from 10 to 20% a year. Of course, we've had for-profit institutions doing it, and now we have nonprofits like Arizona State University, University of Maryland, Global Campus, that they've been in it for many, many years. They were doing correspondence originally and particularly focused on the military. Now, Southern New Hampshire, mm-hmm. the university.
Yeah,
I've
seen ads for them, too.
Yes. Now, Liberty University is huge in Virginia.
Right.
They have something like 90,000 students. It's amazing.
And they do have a football team.
Yes. Maybe that's the secret.
That's Jerry Falwell's university, right?
That's right. It is. Yes. Yep.
So do employers...
So we have our eye on that because we think, well, where's the Catholic Liberty?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yep.
It's Liberty, for the people that like it and go to school there, it's a great success story.
It is. It is. And they're very stringent about taking... They have, I think, two or three... courses about their their Christian worldview. Mm-hmm. Everybody takes those courses. It's a requirement. It doesn't matter if you're majoring in aeronautical engineering.
Right.
You have to take those courses. And that's why, I'm hoping there's going to be a Catholic Liberty because a lot of Catholics go there because it's faith-based.
Right, right. So do potential employers, do they make any distinction between if your degree was, like, say, from Arizona State political science or something? Any distinction between whether you were an on-campus student or whether, you were a online student?
I think less and less. If you know anything about distance education, you know that it is probably more rigorous,
mm-hmm.
and it requires self-discipline. So,
yeah.
I remember the president of it was Gemological Institute of America, which is an online school. He said years ago, I always prefer graduates from distance institutions because I know they have self-discipline.
Very interesting.
Now, what we're doing, because of that issue, we want to make sure that the credentials our students earn are going to be recognized.
Mm-hmm.
We are going through two additional accreditations this year. We've been accredited since 1986 by a national accreditor, which is recognized by the Department of Education, and they make no distinction whether it's regional, national,
uh-huh.
whatever. But most universities are regionally accredited, like Virginia Tech, Princeton University, Yale, all the state universities. So we are going through regional accreditation with a higher learning commission based in Chicago. So we will have our visit from the evaluators in April, and then we're also going through programmatic accreditation with the Association of Theological Schools.
Mm-hmm.
So we will have that visit in March. So we don't want anyone to question the quality of our academic program.
Right.
So this has been the focus of our board strategically, that we maintain our distance model because it enables us to reach the peripheries. You know, we're able to serve people who aren't served any other way, and we will also have these accreditations to assure people and other institutions that what we're awarding is equivalent to what they're awarding.
So how do you cut class at an online university?
Well, you know what? We avoid that because our general model is 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. Every week you have an assignment, you've got reading, and you've got a lecture, and you've got discussion. Mm-hmm. So you have a week to get all that done.
And it's so, it's on your own time frame?
It's called asynchronous. Mm-hmm. So starting on Monday morning at 12:01 a.m. through Sunday night at 11:59, you need to go into your class. And again, we have a learning platform. So you log in, you know, you've created a username and password. You go in, and your professor will have reading assignment, written assignment, discussion question that you have to respond to and enter into with other students. And then his or her lecture, and it could be a video, you know, it could be text, it could be video, and then have some other videos that are linked to it. Our faculty are pretty adept at using media. So that's the general format. Now, for example, with our online Biblical Greek, the professor does do optional synchronous classes where he'll hold a class for anyone who wants to attend. But, of course, our students are all over the world, so sometimes it's not convenient for them because of the time. But that's always an option. Mm-hmm. And some students really like the synchronous. You know, they like to all be together at the same time as if they were in a class. Others really like the freedom of doing their work when it's best for them.
Right.
You know, I know some of our graduates who are morning people, you know, and they would get up really early in the morning. They want to get their work done and be available to their families at night. So, you know, it's just you create that schedule for yourself.
I remember years ago, a professor was on sabbatical, and I got asked to fill in at a community college here in California. And it was, you know, English and journalism, and I have a journalism background. And so it was great interacting with all these students, and we were putting out the community college's newspaper and et cetera. And I did it for a year, and then the person came back from sabbatical. And a couple years later, I got offered a similar position and went in for the interview, and I was all excited about it because I'd had a good experience before. And they said, well, this one's going to be online, you will not have any students that you're going to see. You're going to sit in front of a microphone with a camera on you, and you're going to lecture for an hour and a half. And it just took my breath away because I remember going home and saying, after the initial interview, and I thought, gee, I'd like to do this job, but I was imagining it being like all this interaction. And I thought, I don't think I could sit in front of a microphone without an audience. I'm doing it right now, but without an audience and just sort of talk to myself for an hour and a half. You know, without any, you know, seeing if anybody's listening, or they, you know, what are they doing, or are they raising their hand, or are they going to, let's discuss this. So it must take a unique faculty member, too.
It does, and I'm glad you mentioned that story, because not all faculty and not all students like online education. Mm-hmm. You know, it has to work for you, and we found a lot of the more introverted adults prefer it, and because the discussion is more thoughtful, because you can think about it ahead of time, you can edit what you put up there before you know it's not just on the spot speaking.
Right.
And you know, with our faculty, some of them will you know, they'll videotape a lecture in their, you know, in the garden or wherever they are. But I understand, and if you're primarily, you like this to be the sage on the stage rather than the guide on the side, you need the stimulation of other, you know, of the mm-hmm. students with you. And so, you know, some faculty really don't like online. You have to understand the pedagogy of it and use it in a way that really focuses on learning outcomes and giving the students the best possible experience, because yeah. it has advantages over the classroom.
Oh, absolutely.
And it has drawbacks, you know, as well. So you have to understand it and use it well.
We're talking with Dr. Marion Evans Mount, president of Catholic Distance University. So, you know, the recent Pew statistics talk about nuns.
yeah.
Everybody confuses those. This is the N-O-N-E-S, not the N-U-N-S, making up 26% of the U.S. population now. Catholics, about 1 in 5, 20%. How do you address that through your curriculum?
Well, first of all, I have to just pass on. I interviewed the Papal Nuncio, Archbishop Pierre, recently, mm-hmm. and we honored him at our gala in November. And he said, you know, I don't really like that term, because he said nobody's a nun. You know, everyone has
yeah.
experience and thoughts, and no one's a nun. And I agree with that. Mm-hmm. But I think so often people leave the church because they don't know what they're leaving. They have really no clue what the church teaches. They're being formed and evangelized by, you know, maybe CNN or whatever they hear, you know, online or, you know, whatever. But they don't have a clue what the church teaches. And I think one way that's a challenge for an online university, and that is joy. And I try to emphasize that with my staff and our faculty, that we have to, you know, we need to be joyful in our faith. And whenever we communicate with students, that it has to be a warm, loving, supportive experience. Because for a lot of our students, we represent the church. And then the curriculum, the faculty, we carefully select faculty. And so our faculty are not only well-credentialed, but many of them have their own apostolic activities mm-hmm. That are unique to them that they're able to share in the classroom because they're on fire with their faith, too, and sure. that's what really catches the students. One thing just to mention, it's probably 50 to 60% of our students come to CDU doing something for the church, and when they graduate and they go on, we've found over 90% now are volunteering or they're serving in some capacity because they're on fire. You know, they've been transformed by it. And that's one reason it's important to have an online university like CDU, because we are, you know, we're a click away. If somebody is, you know, it's 2 o'clock in the morning and somebody's depressed and confused and whatever, they need to be able to find us.
Mm-hmm. What a great resource.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I don't know if you know Jennifer Fulweiler. But
oh, sure. Yeah, actually, for a number of years, I worked for the Catholic Channel on Sirius.
Yes, okay.
And when it was during Pope Francis's trip to he went to D.C. and then Washington and Philadelphia. I actually paired with Jennifer on a couple of shows just as a sort of a guest in New York. And what a wonderful person she is. My goodness.
She is. And when she interviewed me, she said, oh, my goodness. She said, my husband and I would have loved to have had CDU, you mm-hmm. know, when we were atheists.
Right.
Yeah. So that's why it's so important for us to be here and not to put roadblocks up, you know, but just to be here for anyone, not even, you know, you don't have to be Catholic, just you've got a hunger for the truth, come.
Yeah. So are any of your faculty clergy?
Yes. Yes. We've had one faculty member, Father Bramwell, who's taught for us for many years. And he's a student of Pope Benedict.
Mm-hmm.
And his area of expertise is the theology of the laity. But he teaches a number of different courses for us. He's written probably 6 or 8 books. So, yes, we do have clergy. And I know there are other clergy as well. He just comes to mind because he's been here a long time. But, yes.
So what sort of, filters or imprimaturs or stamps of approval do you have to go through to call yourself a Catholic university?
That's a great question, and really from the beginnings of CDO, we were established by a diocesan bishop, and we have 3 ex officio bishops on our board, and they represent, one is Bishop Burbage, who's the Bishop of Arlington,
right.
And he represents the history of CDO. We have Archbishop Broglio, who's the Archbishop for the military services.
Yeah, I have interviewed him. Delightful.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Yes, he's just a wonderful man.
The biggest diocese in the world.
That's right. Yes, and he's global. And so we have always been devoted to the military since we started because of their lifestyle. You know, they need to be able... And they're facing life and death all the time.
Right.
So it's very important to support them. And so Archbishop Broglio represents our global mission. And he is also the chancellor and the vice chair of our board.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have, actually, the spot is vacant at this point because Bishop Bransfield was the Bishop of West Virginia. And so now we're hoping that Bishop Brennan will join the board since we are now in the Diocese of Wheeling-Charleston. So.
Mm-hmm.
Over the years, the Bishop of Arlington was the chair of our board, but realistically, as we've grown, it's too much for a diocesan bishop because, of, you know, the poor bishop is
sure.
got much to do with his own diocese. So that's why we kind of flipped it, and we have a wonderful lay chairman, Dr. Charles Wassoff, and we have Archbishop Broglio as the vice and that works really well, and he's our chancellor. So he is our point of contact with the Vatican.
Very good. So when you say Arlington, you're talking about Arlington, Virginia?
That's correct,
right.
Yes.
Not Arlington, Texas. Yeah.
No. That's right.
I don't know. Is Arlington, Texas, is that a diocese? It's probably in the Diocese of Dallas.
I think you're right. It's just a suburb of Dallas.
Yeah.
But,
probably not its own, but, you know.
Yeah.
You never know these. Yeah. I'm always surprised. Every now and then, I'll see a diocese in the United States that I'm not familiar with. You know, I go.
I know what you mean. I agree. I find the same thing.
Yeah.
Yes. So another thing we do in the Year of Mercy 2016, our board decided that we would offer scholarships to mission dioceses.
Mm-hmm.
So we offer 5 mission scholarships to help the bishop in a mission diocese build lay leadership.
Mm-hmm.
So the expectation is we will give you a scholarship, earn your MA in theology, and then you commit to serving the diocese in whatever way the bishop would like that to take place.
How wonderful.
Yes.
So you mentioned at the start of this a thriving Catholic population in your area of West Virginia. Do you have a reason for that?
Yeah. Yes. I think it's partly because we are in commuting distance of Washington, Arlington, you know, the very thriving economy in the Washington, D.C. metro area. We are technically in the D.C. metro area.
Uh-huh. And so how far are you from D.C. proper?
I would say it's like an hour and 15 minutes,
okay.
maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're 45 minutes from Dulles International Airport. Mm-hmm.
And that's in Maryland?
No, that's Virginia.
Oh, Dulles is in Virginia?
Dulles is in Virginia.
Okay.
BWI, Baltimore, Washington International Airport, Thurgood Marshall Airport is in Maryland.
Okay.
And then Washington Reagan Airport is in D.C.
And that's the one they call National sometimes?
Yes, that's National Airport.
Right.
Yep. So we're in the metro area, and the economy in the Eastern Panhandle is stronger because of the opportunities for work. You know, in the D.C. area.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people are moving here. People are moving out of Virginia because Charlestown is much more affordable.
Sure.
So they, you know, they may work in Virginia, but they would live in Charlestown mm-hmm. or, the, you know, Martinsburg or whatever in the Eastern Panhandle. And there's the largest Catholic church in the Diocese of Wheeling-Charleston is in Charlestown.
Hmm.
St. James the Greater. It's beautiful. Looks like a basilica.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's, and then right across the street from us are the, they're the canons of the New Jerusalem. They're monks, and they only do Latin Mass. So they're across the street from us.
Mm.
So we really have kind of a Catholic, you know, really strong Catholic community here with the St. James, and then
yeah.
we've got the canons. We've got Catholic Distance University, and there's another one or two really large parishes right around here.
My home parish is St. James, so I was.
yeah. I know, and I've done the Camino, so of course I have a devotion to St. James.
Yeah, that's a good thing for a distance university to do.
It is.
That's quite a distance.
Yeah. Well, I said, well, this is definitely prayer of the body, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it was a great experience.
I've watched the movie.
Well, I did too. Yeah. Yep.
We used to have a Catholic film series here, just free and open to the public, and we showed Man for All Seasons, and we do it every few months, and one of them was The Way, the actual the Hollywood version, and
with Martin Sheen.
And then we'd have a Q&A with the bishop afterward for everybody that wanted to stay and enjoy the movie, and then talk to the bishop, and I was sort of the moderator. I'd field the questions, and then I'd give my opinion and ask the bishop's opinion, and I remember after The Way, the bishop said, well, you have to point out one thing. It is a beautiful movie, and it's very faithful and everything, but the dumping the ashes in the river, that's not okay,
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
But he did it in a very very joyful way. You know, he was just pointing out, that our beliefs, and it was always a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think film is powerful.
Yeah,
and I studied film when I was getting my master's at Columbia, and I would love to teach a course on film, mm-hmm. film and faith.
Right,
because I just think it's a powerful instrument.
Oh, it is. It is. And there's so many great movies out there that people never heard of. I've never heard of. And sometimes somebody will say, have you seen this? And now, the availability on, you can watch it at home,
There are just
some wonderful faith-filled movies out there.
That's true. In fact, when you have time, send me some of the ones that you've used, because mm-hmm. it's, in the back of my mind, I would love to offer a course, on film.
Well, it's interesting because we sort of had a committee would throw out, it wasn't a big deal, but it was just like, well, what movie? I remember the very first one we showed was It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, yeah.
I think mostly because, and I think this is something that film can really do, is the assumption of virtually all the characters that there is a God and there is a higher purpose in life, and those sorts of things. It just permeates it. You know, it's not like, well, this is a believer and this is a non-believer, and you know.
And I think it's so important today, you know, with the culture we're in, to be, you know, I think, you know, film can be very, very effective.
So how can people learn more about Catholic Distance University?
Go to our website, cdu.edu. It's just a, you know, it's easy to remember. Just, you know, go to the website. Give it a try. You know, we've got a lot of inexpensive non-credit courses.
Mm-hmm.
Take a look, pray about it, see if it's for you, you know, or and tell your DRE at your parish about it. So if it's not, you know, for you, maybe it's for someone you know.
Right.
But, it, you know, just so people appreciate this resource that's there.
Well,
also, we have a thriving learning community as well. We do an online, we have an online campus, so our students can meet each other before classes start. They can go there. We've got an online chapel. We have our own chaplain. We have our library is there. We've got lots of resources, and you can connect with Catholics all over the world. It's wonderful.
Wow. Well, it's been a
so just remember cdu.edu.
CDU, that's easy. cdu.edu.
Yeah.
It's almost a rhyme.
It does.
It's been a great pleasure talking with you, and I hope our paths cross again. And
well, I hope so, too.
I'm going to go, as soon as we're off the air here, I'm going to go to cdu.edu, check it all out.
Wonderful, and thanks so much, and I'm very grateful for your excellent questions.
Oh, thank you. And God bless you and your ministry.
Thank you so much, and you too.
Yeah, take care. That's Dr. Marion Mount, the president of Catholic Distance University in Charlestown, West Virginia. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
Hello, this is Mark Ross from the Diocese of Sacramento Black Catholic Ministry. This is the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks for all you do here in the diocese. Great work and very powerful work indeed. Well, we're pleased to be joined by phone by Lillian Clifford from St. Mary's Parish. Lillian, good day.
Good day. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely. We always enjoy talking with you.
Yes. Well, we have exciting news.
Well, I hope it involves food.
Yes, it does.
Good.
We have St. Mary's Church Crab Feed Mardi Gras.
Very good.
So everybody stroll in with your fancy umbrellas, beads, and masks. That's on Saturday, February 8th, 2020. The doors open at 6 with social hour and drinks. No outside alcohol is allowed. And dinner's at 7. We're going to have delicious food, jumbo shrimp cocktail, Cajun and sausage gumbo over rice, cornbread and honey butter, big easy salad, delicious fresh Dungeness crab.
Wow.
Yes. Peach cobbler, raffle, and music to dance.
How are you going to dance after eating all that food?
Well, I guess after you have a few drinks, you want to move around.
Wow. You were talking about the big easy salad and the jumbo shrimp and the gumbo and all that. And then you said crab, and I'm going, oh, my goodness.
Yes, and we do have shrimp cocktail, which is real delicious.
And
the tickets have to be purchased by February 1st. That's Saturday, February 1st, 2020, at the Rectory, or by calling Tracy Peters at 916-452-0296. That's 916-452-0296. Or Denise Franzoya at 916-457-5084.
Very good. And so all the tickets are ahead of time?
Yes, they have to be purchased by Saturday the 1st.
Okay. This coming
And I didn't give the address for everyone to know. It's going to be at the Giovanni Hall, 1333 58th Street, Sacramento. That's 1333 58th Street. And the tickets are $45 a person.
Oh, man. You couldn't go to the grocery store and buy all that for $45.
No, and you're not going to have no dancing or all the fancies. So don't forget to dress up.
And again, it is
Mardi Gras.
Call the parish office, 916-452-0296, or Denise at 916-457-5084.
Yes.
Do you need somebody to come early, a couple days early, and sample the food, make sure it's all, good?
I'm not sure. I don't know if they're going to have it ready for you.
But if you do, give me a call.
Everybody's welcome. Thank you.
Hey, Lillian, thanks so much for joining us, and it's always a delight to talk with you.
Yes, thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, God bless. There's nothing like... I remember one time having the opportunity to interview Cardinal Dolan from New York, and he talked about when he was the archbishop in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, and he said... The Lenten fish fries, it was such a tradition in Milwaukee, the Lenten fish fries, and he enjoyed them so much. And out here in Northern California, although we have an occasional fish fry, what you really see, and it's usually right before Lent, like this is a Mardi Gras, I believe Ash Wednesday is February 26th this year, and out here because of the Pacific Ocean out there, we have the Dungeness crab feeds, and if you've never had Dungeness crab, there's no crab like it. So, give St. Mary's a call and go out there and have a great time, because I know they'll put on a real good feed and a real good party. Gabe, you ever gone to one of these crab feeds?
No, not yet.
I
saw the Dungeness crab last night though at the store.
Oh, did you? Yeah,
we had a discussion last week
right
about
there
which
on
ones.
The ice. Yeah,
yeah, they're exactly the ones I thought they were.
I've told this story before, but. I remember going to a crab feed. It was for Cristo Rey, back when Cristo Rey was only a year or two old. And they had a crab feed. And all the students, they're dressed up, and they're the servers and the waiters and the waitresses. And there are people, there are professional crab feed people.
Oh, yeah,
they
got the circuit.
They hit the circuit. And And there were these two women sat across from me and my daughter, who was maybe fourth or fifth grade. And they had a little, like a little suitcase, you know, and they busted it open and they had their own little plates and they had their bibs, you know, with a crab on them. And I mean, the logo of the crab. And then they had this like a little candle, you know, like a little, like you see it on buffets.
Like a
Bunsen burner. Yeah. And they had this little dish and they put butter in the dish. They brought their own butter. And then this little Bunsen burner would melt the butter, you know, and they had it outright and kind of, they were sitting across the table from us. And then, so here.
I'm already hungry, by the way.
Here eventually comes the crab. And I'm telling my daughter, yeah, you have to kind of break the claw open and pull it out. And then, you know, and she did that. She reaches over, dips in the butter, and it's like, these people looked at her like she thought it was community butter, you know, like the pitcher of ice water and the, you know, the salad is coming in a big bowl and everything.
Little kids love to share.
Could kill.
Did they say anything to her? Or did you just kind of let her know?
They just kind of let her. They just.
Did you let her know? Like
no, we went home. We were laughing about it.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, but it was interesting. It was like they were delightful people, it wasn't that they didn't want to share, and they didn't say anything at all. You know, they were just stunned. It's almost because it would be akin to my daughter reaching over to one of their plates, taking a piece of crab off their plate or something.
Right,
But my daughter didn't realize that. to hear them talk, and they talked, oh, yeah, well, the one, the crab feeding, we were in San Mateo, and, you know, we went to crab feed at St. wherever, you know, and it wasn't as good as the one here. You know, I mean, they were on the circuit.
They knew, yeah. Well, I mean, you think about it.
It is. I mean, when Lillian says $45, I know $45 is a lot of money to spend for dinner. But she's describing all this, besides the fellowship and the fun. And
right.
It's sort of a raucous environment, usually, at a crab feed. Very noisy. But you couldn't go to the grocery store and buy all you could eat crab and shrimp and
have
salad
to cook it, all the stuff you have to do.
Yeah. And then on the other end of it, I mean, there are companies, this is what they do. They mm-hmm. put on crab feeds.
I always sort of like to take, not that $45 is really that expensive, but I mean, it's a higher end meal for sure. If you're at a restaurant, you see something for $45, you're like, okay.
Yeah.
But I like to take the price of a meal like this as a challenge to make sure I can
$45 worth of food.
At least 40 plus 20% for tips. So like at least $52, $53 worth of food. Yeah. And then the thing I wondered is, do they ever do, and maybe I'm revolutionizing the idea right now, but do they ever do crab feeds mixed with bingo nights?
Oh, I don't know.
I feel like it's a natural thing. You're both sitting there at the table. You got your stuff out. The way you describe the people who do the crab feed stuff with the butter and all that kind of stuff, that's basically the same as the people who do the bingo and stuff like that. They have all their stuff. They have all their things that they put. They have their little pack of stuff, and they unpack it and all that. It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, bingo used to be a little more one of the most fun I ever had years ago. Many years ago in Seaside, Oregon, they had all the coastal, you know, there are Our Lady of the Sea. And they had this little Catholic church, almost on the beach, and they had bingo night. And I just happened to be there. I thought, that just sounds like fun.
Yeah.
I didn't win anything.
Yeah.
But it was the same thing. There were a few people that, we went to bingo in Salem. We like this one better because they have blackout bingo, or, you know.
Those fish fries, do they have chips too? Is it like a traditional, like, British fish and chips kind of fish fry?
And vinegar all over the table, you know.
See, I'd actually go for that.
Yeah, I never use vinegar, but you have fish and chips, you got to have vinegar.
Oh, yeah. I went to, when I went to London, I tried, my friend, unfortunately, ordered a traditional British style, so it had the skin and stuff on it. So he was, being an American, that was a little off-putting for him. But, you know, we're used to everything being overly breaded and buttered and all that. Which,
years ago in Davis, we actually had a place called London Fish and Chips.
Yeah, there's still one, I think, in Roseville.
Oh, is there? And they had the tartar sauce in squeeze bottles.
Yes.
Not, you know, you had the little packet you had to tear open.
Yeah.
But, or could I get extra tartar? They had it in squeeze bottles.
Like you ketchup.
Could just have as much tartar.
The best.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. So anyway, St. Mary's Mardi Gras, February 8th. That's 1333 58th Street, Giovanni Hall, right there at the parish. Call Denise, 916-457-5084, or the parish office. But do it soon. Do it before February 1. The parish office at 916-452-0296. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and long-standing support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates.
Hi, I'm John McGinnis, retired sheriff of Sacramento County, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Well, here I am. River of questions. Can I pour my heart out to a listening ear? Well, I see this life, it's valleys and mountains, and I think of all the roads that brought me here. Oh, that brought me here. Walking down the road. Well, I've questioned my reasons, this life I'm living. I questioned my ability to judge wrong from right. Well, I questioned all the things I've ever called certain. My race, my religion, my country, my mind. But the one thing I don't question is you. You really love me like you say you do. You really love me like you say you do. So hold. I've questioned significance, meaning, and relevance. Does the work I'm doing really matter at all? Well, I question my friendships a lot.